Merry Christmas, everybody. From the deepest and the warmest place in my heart, I want to welcome you. Whether it's morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are on the planet, from the deepest and warmest place in my heart, I want to welcome you to this blessed Christmas worship time. Friends, I pray that on this day, this Christmas day, that you are ready to receive the greatest blessing that perhaps you will ever receive in all of your life. And for those of us who have received that blessing already, his name is Jesus. May we come together in the spirit and in the joy of what it is to worship our Lord. Amen. Friends, I want to ask you this day, what does Christmas mean to you? Do you personally have a biblical understanding of this day? Do you celebrate the gifts that are exchanged or the God that is the gift? You see, for many, this is a day about celebration, but the celebration is about worldly things instead of worship. I wonder, do you understand the true meaning of Christmas? I want you to think about that, to really probe the depths of your heart and ask yourself, do you know the Christ of Christmas? Do you celebrate the Christ of Christmas? So many in the world today, so many in the church world today are gathered for a celebration, but not a celebration of Christ, a celebration of other things, of traditions, of grandchildren, of family gatherings, of exchanging of gifts. But it's not a true Christmas celebration. I want you to think about even that word, Christmas. Listen to the word, Christ must. It literally means Christ's day. In the same way that Christian is a Christ's one. Friend, I pray that you've come to understand, or you will today, that Christians, Christ's ones, come to celebrate Christmas, Christ's day, in a special way that should arrest the attention of the world. It's not about our feast. It's not about the clothes that we wear or what our children or grandchildren do today. No, it is about Christ. This is his day. Now, it is a day to celebrate. Amen. The coming of Christ is worthy of our celebration. The giving of gifts, if they're done to point to the glory and the grace of our Lord, amen. Again, all of that can be God-honoring. I want to share with you the fact that it needs to be God-honoring. When you think about Christmas, what do you think of? What does this day mean to you? When you think about gift-giving, and by way of example, I'm blessed to tell you, on this Christmas day, our Bridge family, all of you that are within the stretches and the touches of our prayer chain and our family, on this day, the Bridge family gives to you a gift. All of us this afternoon will receive an invitation, a free gift through the Bridge family to join Right Now Media. It's a tool for discipleship. You're going to have a free Bridge family membership and will have access to all kinds of discipling media and tools. That's a gift. It's a Christmas gift for you from our Bridge family that we can grow as glorifiers of our God through that gift. You see, that's a good example of a God-honoring Christmas perspective and Christmas gift. So let me ask you what we hear so often on this day. What did you get for Christmas? What did you get for Christmas? Or how about what did you get from Christmas? I want you to think about these things as we press into this day. We're going to celebrate Christ together on this Christmas day in a way that continues on in our sermon series entitled, See the Kingdom of God. There is arguably no better day to celebrate Christmas than the day that you get to understand and press into the kingdom of God. Friends, I pray that you'll listen to Jesus in John chapter 8, verse 12, when he self-identifies. He tells us, he said, I am the light of the world. Let us celebrate Christ, the light of the world, this Christmas. Would you pray with me and then get ready to press in to the glory of God? Oh Lord, I pray that each one within the sound of my voice is coming to celebrate you, Christ, our King, and your kingdom this Christmas day. May we see you as the light of the world that gives us eyes to see and ears to hear, and to embrace the call that you've given us to be your lights in this world. Oh Lord, let us begin here. Tenderize and prepare our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Light of the world, treasure of heaven, brilliant like the stars in the wintry sky. Joy of the Father, reach through the darkness, shine across the earth, send the shadows to fly.
Thank you.
and amen. The light of the world. We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Christ in part because he is the light of the world. Friend, if you do rightly and righteously, biblically and missionally, personally understand why we celebrate Christmas, do you realize it's because the light of the world gave you eyes to see? Have you come to realize that this is the day that we celebrate the God that is the gift and the gift that is our God? Is that your personal perspective? Do you see with these eyes? Again, I take you back to our sermon series, See the Kingdom of God. And we've been focusing on Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of God. And I think this would be a wonderful place for us to get our text for this Christmas day. That text is Matthew chapter 13, verse 11. But for those of you that weren't with us yesterday in our Christmas Eve message, let me just remind you that the text of Christmas Eve was Matthew 6, verse 33. And we saw the kingdom of God through the Christmas Eve perspective when we saw the hope that came in the promise, where our Lord Jesus said, seek first, make first priority the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. And then all the things that you need will be added or given to you. So here again, what did you get for Christmas? Well, if you're seeking after the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, if you're seeking his kingdom first, he's promised that the reason why you're doing that is because he's gifted you with eyes to see, with a heart that beats after him, that you've been touched and responded to the miracle of his grace. And now we pick up on this in verse 11 of Matthew 13, where again, it's Jesus speaking now in the midst of a dialogue of parables. And he says to his disciples, those who are not in the crowd that could care less about Christ, but those that are becoming his church, that are pursuing passionately an understanding of Christ, an understanding of Christmas, Christ's day. And Jesus says to them, to you it has been given the ability to see and understand. Friend, I wonder, do you realize that if you do understand biblically, missionally, personally, the meaning of Christmas, the celebration of Christmas, Christ's day, it's because of Christ and his day and his grace. Do you realize that? And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, do you realize that you don't know what I'm talking about? If so, even that's a gift of grace, because from there you'll know the need is to cry out to Christ. Cry out to the Christ of Christmas for the Christmas gift that is Christ. And for those of you that have received the gift of Christ on another day besides Christmas, that's why you celebrate Christmas. Now I'm reminded again of what we think about and how we perceive Christmas is so, so important. Let me take you in the spirit of Jesus teaching and preaching in Matthew 13, and through the sounds of our traditions, let me bring you back to a song that we often sing at Christmas that speaks to this Christ-centered perspective. I pray that you'll hear these words and be drawn to a true celebration of Christmas and Christ. And if that's not what comes up in you, let it draw your attention to your need for this gift that is Christ. And I ask you to ask him so that you will hear what he says and see what he shows, and that your heart will beat for his passions and priorities. Listen to this, I pray, in a way that will bless you and help to build you. And then we'll come and we'll press in deeper to a Christmas celebration and the kingdom of God that will bring him glory.
Said the night wind to the little lamb, do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
A star dancing in the night, with a tail as big as a kite. With a tail as big as a kite. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
A song, high above the tree, with a voice as big as the sea. With a voice as big as the sea. Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, do you know what I know? In your palace warm, mighty king, do you know what I know? A child shivers in the cold, let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Said the king to the people everywhere, listen to what I say. Pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say. The child sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light.
Amen. Do you hear what I hear? Do you hear the truth and love of Christmas? That Christmas is all about Christ being with us. That this is the day we celebrate Christ leaving heaven and coming down to earth and dwelling with us. God became man. It's literally the truth and love of Christmas that Christ, our King, Creator and Lord, came to be with us. That's the truth and love. That's the big idea of Christmas. That's the big idea of today, is that Christmas Day is all about the arrival of holy help and healing in the person that is Christ our King. It is the coming of the kingdom in the coming of our King Jesus. Oh, friends, I pray that as today we press in to Christmas, into the kingdom of God, that you will see Christ in a new way, that you'll come to realize three simple points, that there is hope in Christ, in Christmas, that there is help and there is healing. There is a promise that is being fulfilled here on Christmas. There is a power that is present here on Christmas. And there is a people, amen, there is a people that have his presence with them forevermore, starting on Christmas. Oh, friends, I pray that as we come in together and as we realize the need for Christ and Christmas, we'll celebrate Christ and Christmas and his coming. I pray that together we'll look at, we'll be reminded of what we learned on Christmas Eve, that there is hope eternal in the promised coming of Christ. We saw it throughout the scriptures, Genesis 3:15, the first promise of the coming Christ that would kill death, that would satisfy every need and fulfill every promise made by God before time began for his people. We saw it in Isaiah, in his prophecies. We see it in Isaiah 7 and again in Isaiah 8, where the promise is the coming king will come and he'll be known as Emmanuel, God with us. We celebrate Christmas because it is the fulfillment of the promise of Almighty God. It is the fulfillment of every need that every human being has, that in Christ's coming, in Christmas Day, we have Emmanuel, Christ with us, God with us. We have all of the promises that represented our hope fulfilled on Christmas Day. He came, and his ministry, his perfect mission and ministry began as he came. Literally, the Holy One, here to help, born of a virgin as the Messiah, God in flesh, to come and heal all that is wrong with sinners, that he would become our righteousness, that he would pay our debt. If you are a Christian, it is because Christ came. If you are a Christian, it is why you celebrate Christmas Day. It's because you know what Christ paid to make this day possible for you. You can know a celebration because he came and fulfilled that promise. Oh, friend, I pray that as we come together and we think about the hope, what we saw and what we celebrated on Christmas Eve, the promise that was laid out throughout Scripture, here now on Christmas Day, we have the presence of the living God. We go from having hope to having help. We celebrate Christmas because hope became help on this day. It's no longer about the prophecies. It's about the person who is here. Here. Think about that. Here. Let me show it to you in how Luke lays it out for us in Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2, reminding us and showing us of the promises that are here now becoming fulfilled in the very presence of the person of the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, as we see him on Christmas Day.
The Gospel of Luke. Luke investigated many of the earliest eyewitnesses of the life of Jesus and then composed this account.
And the story begins up in the hills of Jerusalem, the place where Israel's ancient prophets said that God himself would come one day to establish his kingdom over all the earth.
In the city is the temple, run by the priests, and one of them, named Zechariah, was working in the temple when he had a vision that freaks him out. An angel appears and says that he and his wife will have a son. What's this all about?
Well, Zechariah and his wife, we're told, are very old. They've never been able to have children. And Luke's setting up a parallel here with Abraham and Sarah, the great ancestors of Israel, because they too were very old and could never have kids.
Yet God gave them a son, Isaac, which is how the whole story of Israel began.
And so Luke's implying here that God's about to do something that significant for this people once again.
The angel tells Zechariah to name the son John.
And then he says that this son's going to fulfill a promise of Israel's ancient prophets that somebody would come one day to prepare Israel to meet their God when he arrived to rule in Jerusalem.
Because right now, Jerusalem is ruled by the Romans.
Yeah, specifically, it's governed by a man named Herod, who's a puppet king under the Roman Empire. And so the Jewish people wanted nothing more than to be free and govern themselves in their own land.
So this is shocking news. Everything's going to change. God's on his way. But how is he going to arrive?
Well, to find out, Luke takes us out of Jerusalem and then up into a small town in the hills of an out-of-the-way region called Galilee. And there we find a young woman named Mariam, or we call her Mary. She was engaged to be married.
And then an angel appears to Mary, saying that she's going to have a son.
She's supposed to name him Jesus, which in Hebrew means the Lord saves. And he will be a king like David, who will rule over God's people forever.
And then Mary asks, okay, well, how is this possible? Because I'm a virgin.
And she's told that the same Holy Spirit that brought life and light out of darkness in Genesis chapter 1 is going to generate life inside her womb. God is about to bind himself to humanity through the conception and the birth of the Messiah.
And so Mary goes from some backwoods no-name girl to the future mother of the king?
Exactly. In fact, she sings a song about how this reversal of her own social status points to a greater upheaval to come. Through her son, God's going to bring down rulers from their thrones and exalt the poor and the humble. He's going to turn the whole world order upside down.
So when Mary was really pregnant, she and her fiancé, Joseph, had to go down to Bethlehem.
Yeah, there was a decree across the Roman Empire about new taxes, and so everybody had to go get registered in the town of their family line.
There are so many visitors in Bethlehem, they can't find a guest room.
And so the only place they can find is a spot where animals sleep.
Now nearby were some shepherds with their flocks, and an angel appears, which, of course, freaks them out. But they're told to celebrate. Because tonight in Bethlehem, a savior has been born.
Yeah, they're told to go and find this baby, and they'll know that it's the Messiah because he's going to be wrapped up and laying in a grimy feeding trough.
Yeah, which is pretty gross.
Totally. And then these shepherds, who aren't very clean themselves, they go and find the newborn Jesus in this really dingy place, and their minds are blown. They go home wondering what on earth is about to happen.
And this is all really strange. I mean, if God's really coming to save the world, this isn't how you would expect him to arrive. Born in an animal shelter to a teenage girl, celebrated by no-name shepherds.
Exactly. I mean, everything is backwards in Luke's story, and that's the point. He is showing how God's kingdom was first revealed in these dirty places among the poor, because Jesus is here to bring salvation by turning our world order upside down.
Amen. You see, if it's God and his word that's making this clear, I pray you realize you're not hearing from some Baptist preacher. You're not getting some denominational slant. This is the word of God. This is the perspective that God's word, God's will, and God's way brings to us. It's to understand that there has been a hope promised from the Garden of Eden, literally from Genesis 3:15, that we're celebrating the fulfillment of the hope and the promise that has been Christ from the very beginning. And to lose that, to have Christ on Christmas Day clouded out by any other tradition, any other good thing that takes the place of God's things on Christmas Day become bad things. And I pray that you've come to realize that, that if you have a great celebration that is focused on all good things, it's a bad celebration because it's not concentrated on God's things, on God himself. This is what's so important. The hope and the promises that led up to Christmas Day are here now being fulfilled. We're going from the hope to the here and the help that has come with Christ. Can you see this? Again, this is the question that Jesus would ask in Matthew 13 in a series of 8 parables in a row being taught to help the people to hear and hopefully understand what it is to recognize, to embrace, to live in, to be a witness to the kingdom of God. I pray that today you realize that that's very parallel to Christmas. To understand the kingdom is to understand Christmas, Christ's day. To understand Christ's day is to understand God's kingdom. That there is a direct connection here. Do you see with God's eyes Christmas Day? Again, Christians, Christ's ones, are to celebrate Christmas, Christ's Day, in a way that gets the attention of the world, hopefully to serve as a bridge to discipleship. That in telling the truth in love, in living the truth in love, that the kingdom of God is seen in our celebration of Christmas. Our way of celebrating Christ on Christ's Day should bring the world to a curiosity about our King and his kingdom. This is at the heart of what it is to see with God's eyes. Remember, Jesus told the disciples, he told the coming church that the lost crowd would see, but not see. They would hear, but not hear. We know elsewhere in Scripture, we're told that not all the children of Abraham were the children of Abraham. Not all that go to church are the church. Not all that celebrate Christmas are really celebrating Christmas. I wonder if you've ever wondered, ever thought what it might have been like to have been Joseph, husband of Mary, stepfather of our Lord. You know, Mary gets a lot of attention. Our Catholic friends, they make way too much of her. You shouldn't worship Mary or anybody else. But I think we often make less of her than we should in the Protestant world. But I think both the Catholics and the Protestants, I think we forget about Joseph. Think about his faith. Think about his perspective. Can you imagine? Now, Mary, she had the angels come and she had the Christ living in her. Her faith, I almost say, how could you not? But Joseph, he's a little different. He, on the other hand, he's got a faith. He's got a relationship with Christ that I think would help us. Now, I want to share with you a dramatization of what it might have been like to be Joseph with the coming Christ on Christmas Day in the manger, humble, and yet with a sense of divine knowing, a miraculous understanding, perhaps, that he was now the stepfather of the living God, the Messiah. I want to share this with you, and I pray again, help you to think about Christmas Day is when hope turned into help because Jesus came here to earth. God became man and started very humbly as a baby in a manger. I wonder if this perspective might get you thinking a little bit.
Don't worry, my boy. You'll be nice and warm. I wrapped you in your mother's old blanket. Some start we've had, huh? A 90-mile walk, just so you can get born in a stable. You know, if we were back home in Nazareth, oh, I could build you a fine crib. But here, no crib. I have to put you to sleep in the hay. Yeah. You know, I had my own visit from an angel. To write it down so I wouldn't forget what it said. Joseph, son of David, fear not to take Mary for your wife, for what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will save the people their sins. Did you hear that? You will save us from our sins. You are the Messiah. And and I've been chosen to be the Messiah's papa. I do not know how it will happen, but I'm done doubting. I want to tell you how happy that you make me. No, it's more than happiness. It's, what did the shepherds say the angels told them? They bring good news. Great joy. Yes. That's what it is. It's joy. That's what you bring. My sweet, beautiful boy. You bring me so, so much joy.
Amen. Could you imagine being Joseph? Would you have acknowledged the angels coming in the dream as God having sent a personal message to you? Or would you have written it off as a dream? Can you imagine what it would be like to have the living God in your arms? Think about this, friends. When you celebrate Christmas, when you think about Christmas, do you see a baby in a manger? Or do you see a mustard seed coming to earth? Think about, again, the teaching of Jesus in the parables in Matthew 13. I think Joseph, in this depiction, he's showing us one who is perceiving and has a proper biblical perspective. Again, think about Jesus and how he would reprimand the religious and how he would embrace and give warmth and encouragement to those who didn't understand everything, but who had a passion for him. Again, I think about the parables on Christmas Eve. Do you see in the manger the mustard seed Messiah, the one who would start so small and would grow a kingdom that would literally eclipse the world and would fill everything of every part of creation? Do you see in Christmas Day, in the coming of Christ, the ordinary, like the yeast and the leaven of heaven, coming into the bread of this world, coming in and beginning there in a manger on Christmas Day, the most humble and lowly, almost invisible, like the yeast, being folded into the extremely ordinary, like Joseph and Mary's lives, like yours and my life, Christian, that this yeast would come into the ordinary and would spread as the extraordinary all throughout all things, all of creation, all people. Do you see in Christmas, in the Christ of Christmas, do you see the treasure hidden in that field? Oh, it's just a manger. Oh, it's just a couple coming from Nazareth. Oh, don't make much of them. There isn't a whole lot. Just another pregnant young girl with a story to tell. Or would you have the perception to see the treasure hidden in that field, the treasure that is Christ hidden in this first Christmas day? Would you see the tiny precious pearl that is the Prince of Peace in that stable? Do you see that which is worthy of all preservation, no matter what the cost? Like those in the parable of the hidden field and the precious pearl, do you have that perspective on Christmas Day that says, listen, I'll separate myself from everything I have, every nickel, every relationship, every expectation, every priority, every want, every wish, if I could have the Christ of Christmas, if I could have the treasure in the field that is Christ, the pearl that is Christ? Oh, if I could know what it is to have the incredible expansion of the mustard seed's growth in Christ. Oh, that the leaven of heaven would fill every cell in my body and make me his and more like him every day. Oh, I would celebrate Christmas like no other. Is that your understanding? Is this at the heart of your celebration? Is Christ at the core of your celebration of Christmas? I pray that he is. Friends, it's not about you and me. It's always been about him. His being here and bringing help. That's what we're celebrating. I pray that we'll celebrate Christmas by seeking the light of the world, seeking the mustard seed Messiah, seeking the yeast, the leaven from heaven, seeking the treasure that is the truth. His name is Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, and the light of the world, that we would seek after that precious pearl that is the person, the Prince of Peace, our Christ on Christmas Day, the King of the Kingdom. Oh, may we seek after him with all that we have. I came to earth so you would know my love for you. I took on flesh so you could know me. But my presence would only be revealed to those who sought after me. The humble, the outsider, the seeker. My name is Emmanuel. I am the living God who comes to dwell with you. I have sought after you. I have longed for you. Before the foundation of the world, there is rest, healing, and blessing in me. Hunger for me, desire me, seek and you will find me. Amen. I pray that you are seeking after the truth that will set you free and that you'll share that truth with all that will receive it. Friends, we've seen the hope that has come here, the promise that has been fulfilled, and the power that has arrived with Christ on Christmas Day. Well, now we celebrate the here, the forevermore that is Christmas, that is Christ with us, God with us. Think about, again, the light of the world. If you understand Christmas, it's because of the love and the light of our Lord that he's given you eyes to see. Think about it. We've gone from a promise to the here and now power of his arrival to the proof that is Christmas Day, the proof that is our Christmas celebrations, the proof that is every Christian that carries their cross to the glory of our God, the proof that Christ is Lord, the proof that Jesus is the Messiah, the proof that Jesus coming is God with us. This baby in the manger, this mustard seed Messiah, is the proof that would later say, it is finished. For whom the angels would say, he is risen. This mustard seed Messiah, this coming King of the Kingdom, he would be the ones who would promise that you would receive power when his Spirit comes on you, and you would be his witnesses. This is what we celebrate on Christmas, the light of the world that brings everything that we need to us, that we might be his ambassadors. Oh, that you and I would live as lights that reflect the light of the world.
A brilliant light pierced the darkness on that first Christmas night. It wasn't the immense star so bright that intrigued experts of the night sky to follow it. It wasn't even the multitude of angelic messengers with a light so intense, so radiant, it frightened brave shepherds to fall to their knees. No, this light was far greater, more powerful than every star and every sun. This light was a baby. A tiny newborn wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger where animals feed. A baby named Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Because Jesus was a gift for each one of us, and he arrived with a purpose, to shine light into all dark places. You see, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. A light that shows us there is no place you can go that can escape God's love. No dark corner where his love cannot find you. A light that has the power to cut through any darkness, to calm the most anxious thoughts, and to fill every heart with unspeakable joy. There is a light that shines brightly in the darkness, and his name is Jesus, light of the world.
Amen, friends, the light of the world. Are you celebrating Christmas today? Because you understand that we have received the light of the world. More importantly, have you biblically, missionally, and personally come to understand the proof that is the light of the world? Not just the promises that gave us hope, not just the power that arrived on Christmas Day, but the actual proof that is here and now in you, Christian, in the family of God, in the kingdom of God. The one who showed us the proof upon his arrival, the one who would prove on the cross and declare it is finished, and then prove and declare that he is alive. That one who would say to you and me, Christian, celebrate me on this Christmas day. All glory belongs to the Lord. Do you understand his gospel and grace this way? Will you be proof this Christmas that it is in fact Christ's day? Will you, as he said, go make disciples? Will you be his witnesses? Will you love one another? Will you seek and save that which God wants sought and saved? Will you bring the message of salvation? I can't save anybody, but we can certainly bring the Savior to their attention. We can bring his promises. We can display his proof. The Christians, the Christ ones, should be the best example, the best illustrations of Christmas, Christ's day, in all the world. Oh, I pray that you have come to understand and appreciate Christmas, Christ's day. Let me bring everything back full circle and close with this question, this heart-probing, perhaps heart-poking question. What did you get for Christmas? What did you get from Christmas? Now, let me slow down and change the inflection in my voice. And I pray you'll hear this question like you've never heard it before. Remember, Christian, Christ won. Christmas is Christ's day. So let me ask you again. What did you get before Christ on his day? What did you get for Christ on his day? What did you get from Christ on his day? Did you get a Lord and a Savior? Or did you get a tradition and some religion? Did you get some morals? Or did you get a miracle? Did you get a traditional holiday message? Or did you get the truth in a holy Messiah? And the evidence, the truth, the fruit, that which will reveal the soil, the mustard seed, the yeast, the treasure, the pearl, comes down to this question again. What did you personally get for Christ on his day? Did you get your worship for him? Did you bring your praise for him? Did you get your awe of him and bring it to him and for him on this Christmas day, on Christ's day? Did you come to get gifts or to give glory? Did you come to take or did you come to praise? I pray that you've come to realize we celebrate Christmas, Christ's day, in part and primarily by bringing for him our praise and our worship. We understand that the hope that was in his promises came here to earth with his power on Christmas Day. His birth brought him here with power and purpose. And right here, right now, we get to be his people. And he's in us and with us. And this is why we celebrate both Christmas and the kingdom of God. God with us, Emmanuel, our King, is ruling over his kingdom, and we get to celebrate Christmas. We get to celebrate the kingdom because we have and we celebrate Christ of Christmas and the King of the kingdom. Oh, I want to leave you with one more video. I want to leave you with a prayer, a perspective, and a praise song that I pray you'll see brings all of this together. Oh Lord, may each one within the sound of my voice righteously celebrate you, our Christ, this Christmas, you, our King, and your kingdom. Lord, may we see clearly that you are the God who thunders through heaven and yet kneels down and whispers to us the sweetness of your truth and love. Though you reign over all of creation, you still kneel down and heal we the broken. Oh, what a wonderful Messiah we have. We, the ones who put the mess in Messiah, we get to celebrate you, our Christ and our King, this Christmas day and all throughout your kingdom. May it be so. May we see you for who you are, and may we cry out, and may we proclaim, O come, God with us, Emmanuel, come, Lord Jesus, come. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We praise you. We give you all the glory, and we are forever eternally indebted. Hear our praises. Hallelujah. To God be the glory and praise. Amen and amen.
It was that silent night when the stars turned their gaze to marvel at the earth. When the heavens gathered breathless round a lowly stable. When a young mother wept tears of worship, falling on the baby in her arms. And the song of the earth arose in Bethlehem, soft as the tender beating of his heart. And all was calm, all was bright. Yet could this be the same God of Abraham, the conqueror of Israel? This baby, this fragile life. Is this child the one who burned his name in rapture across the gasping skies? Whose voice spoke the oceans into crashing rhythms? Who crafted the mountains into guardians of the firmament? Whose hand ignited the thirst of the deserts and the warring surge of the elemental hosts? Who breathed life from dust? Broke the oppressor's rule? Scattered the chains of his people like sand? And led them through the wilderness with a pillar of flame? Is this child the one whose presence billowed thunderous on Sinai's peak? Who surrounded Job with the roaring wind? Stood defiant in the raging furnace? Wrote judgment against tyrants and blazed on the lips of the prophets? Scorching history's pages with the fury of his might? Could this be the same God who chose to come as the vulnerable king, setting his throne on straw and manger, drawing forth the tears of shepherds, receiving the gifts of wandering travelers, his fame unknown in this world? He is Jesus, the one who thunders through the heavens, yet whispers to our hearts. Who reigns victorious, yet bows to serve the broken. He is God in the fury, God in the silence. He holds this mystery balanced in his hands, holds our questions till they lose their need, until all we see is him.
Spring come and shoot thy she of David come and open wide thy heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high and close the path to misery.
Would you stand with us and sing this chorus? Rejoice.
Rejoice.
Sing it again.
Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.